Com is brought to you by Patrick Eads and his staff at Deary Brothers Ford on Mormon Trek. Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Mike's E-Keys for Cars. GT Car and his crew at Supple's Building and Remodeling. Supple's Flowers, home of 1-800-800-ROSE. The Midtown Family Restaurants. Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown Iowa City. Senior Benefits, Wells Fargo Advisors, Premier Automotive in North Liberty, the Oxyoke Inn and the Amanas. Streets Maintenance, Dr. Lance Forbes Diamond Dental in Cedar Rapids, and Big Dog Tech Solutions. Here's Tom Suter, and from HawkFanatic.com, Pat Hardy.
Well, thank you, Cap. Now, we were just talking about the WNBA and the Iowa players a little bit. Yesterday, Pat, Megan Gustafson had 16 points.
Yeah, it was on TV. I watched it.
And 11 rebounds.
Yeah, she's playing well, and they're utilizing her in the correct way.
Yeah, that was good. And let's see. Kate Martin had 5 points. And one assist.
How many minutes?
8.
Yeah, well, that's pretty efficient. 5 points in 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know the circumstances.
And
but
2 blocks.
Wow.
And 4 personal fouls in 8 minutes.
So I wonder what part of the game she was. If she was in during crunch time or if it was.
I am not.
Because obviously 8 minutes isn't a lot.
No. And Cameron Brink only played 9 minutes.
Oh, did they win?
Sparks won 89-72, yes.
Okay. And of course, the Fever played. Was that Saturday?
Yeah,
that wasn't good.
That was not good.
Looked good for a while, but boy, when it came to crunch time, they fell apart.
They really did on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was everybody. I mean, it just was not a good sequence of events there in that third and fourth quarter. Caitlin was having trouble getting shots, and when she did get a few open ones, she just didn't make them.
Yeah, I think I can't remember the exact statistic, but between Aaliyah Boston, Kelsey Mitchell, and Caitlin Clark, they shot 33% for the game, and they're not going to win.
No, and Aaliyah started quickly, didn't she? I get the games mixed up. Didn't she have 6 early points and made a couple great post moves?
She did.
And then it just, I can't even remember. Who were they playing? It escaped me.
Liberty.
Liberty, yeah. That's right.
Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
Liberty had that little point guard from, was it France?
Yeah.
Man, she was good.
Yeah, she played well, didn't she?
She was good. And, of course, the girl from Connecticut is, what's her name, Brianna Stewart.
Stewie.
30 and 12, God. I think she had.
She had, 25 free throws?
Yeah. But the Fever, but I think most of them, Tom, she was getting fouled.
Yes, she was.
The Fever are so up and down. One game, they get your hopes up. Yep, things are fixed. Caitlin's got in a groove now, and then the next game, they just lay an egg. And that was, so that means tonight they're going to come out and play well against, who is it again?
Well, it's at the Mystics.
Are they good?
They haven't been great.
Into the Mystic.
Into the Mystic.
Good song.
But Lucy hasn't been playing.
I noticed that. I've watched 2 games, kind of waiting to see if she gets in, and she doesn't look like she is even thinking she might get in, which means she's buried. But she's still on the team. I mean, she's still in the second year, and maybe she can do what Kate does and maybe get traded or get, you know, waived and then maybe signed with another team. Because I still think there's a place for her in the league when I watch other teams play.
Well, you would think so, but you know, there's a lot of good players coming in every year too. So,
okay, and it is. I don't know why the NBA game wasn't played yesterday. I don't know why they've chosen Monday night as opposed to Sunday, when they're really, other than base, what else was going on besides?
Did they play Friday?
I can't remember when it was. Maybe that was. Maybe it was back to back. But they could have adjusted that earlier. You know, you could. Have,
yeah.
I mean, just and it's going to be unfortunate for the Fever to be playing at the same time.
Well,
as
but I mean, I think they always do on a Monday.
I don't know. I have no idea if that's true or not. But it just seems like you got to have some flexibility. And but to Sunday afternoon or Sunday night would have been perfect for that game.
Yeah, because there wasn't much else going on. And
no, yeah. And but now the Fever. It's obviously going to affect the Fevers. There's maybe a lot of fans that don't know. There's probably a lot of Fever fans that don't even like the NBA. You know, they're Caitlin, you know what I mean? They're Caitlin fans and what have you. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of viewership their game gets tonight, with, because there's a lot of people focused on this NBA game, because, you know, it's the Knicks, and the Knicks bring attention. They're in the finals for the first time since 99, and of course tonight's going to be bigger because Trump's going to be there. And they took away their, you know, they do those watch parties next to the arena. They took away the watch parties, which has a lot of people upset. Now, I see why they did. I mean, you know, it'd be kind of hard to do a watch party and have to escort the President of the United States inside Madison Square Garden. That would be a pretty, pretty, let's say, vulnerable setup, would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's it'll be interesting to see, though, because the Knicks are on a roll. They've won like 13, 14 games in a row. It'll be interesting to see how tonight's game plays out.
They say they either play on Monday nights or Friday nights.
Well, that's not true, because they play during
the NBA week. Final games are not always on Mondays. Sometimes they're on Fridays. That's what it's AI.
Oh, AI is wrong.
No, that's not.
Yeah, they're wrong.
That's not. Because then what do they do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
I've just read AI.
I think there should be flexibility. Yeah, just to the circumstance on hand. But, of course, I get there's so much involved with days rest and what have you. But to me, in the playoffs, do you need more than one day of rest to play? I mean, really? I mean, if you – God, I mean
– Well, maybe after playing, you know, 100 games.
Well, that's their fault they play so many games.
Well, no, I mean, for sure.
I mean, to me, though, it's – I think one day – what do you get in college during the NCAA tournament? You get –
At least one day.
You get you win you, if you play Thursday and you win. You play Saturday. If you play Friday, you win. You play Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the playoffs can't be that in special circumstances. I just think it's unfortunate the games are going to be overlapping tonight. I mean, what time's the Fever game start?
Six.
Yes.
And what? Oh well. Okay. Then what time's the Knicks game start?
I don't know.
Hello.
I can look.
I look.
Maybe there won't be a lot of overlap.
Hey.
I think the Knicks game starts around 7 or 7.30.
Well, that would give you almost all the Fever game, an hour and a half of the Fever game, if it's 7.30. So that'd be a little different for the viewer.
But they played it tonight because when they go from one city to the other, they take 2 days off.
Yeah, no, I know, I get you.
Right there, they only take 1 day off.
I think in this case, it's just unfortunate that the two games are going to be played at the same time. But that's what the way it is.
But it is 7:30 tonight.
Yeah, so at least there won't be a ton of overlap. I mean, the viewer can kind of go back and forth once the Knicks game starts. I have no idea. Are these Knicks games getting good viewership, the first two? I haven't seen
them. Yes, very much so.
People seem to be really interested in this series for some reason.
Very.
Knicks were my first favorite team as a kid, way back when they, with Willis Reed and Walt Frazier.
Well, when was the last time they?
99.
Yeah.
That was the last time they were in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then since then, they haven't had very good teams.
No.
Well, they've had okay teams at times. I mean, they've had okay. I mean, but not, no. They've been this. I mean, it's been a while, and their fans are engaged. But the price of tickets is ridiculous for tonight.
Well, they're not letting them watch out.
$5,000?
Oh, that's. I've heard that $5,000 won't get you anywhere near the area.
It's cheaper. It's more expensive rather than that.
I thought I read there's nothing cheaper than $8,000 for a ticket. I could be wrong.
I thought it was.
And they took away the two watch parties they have, which is for the people who can't afford those tickets but want to be there. Yeah. So it's a tough circumstance for Knicks fans tonight.
They wanted they invited Obama and he said no. You know, I'm not taking up space and I'm not going to add to security. I'll watch it at home.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and how long do you think Trump will stay there?
Well, he'll be in an air-conditioned suite with everything catered to his needs, I would imagine. If he wants to make it through the game, he could. He may get bored. He seems to get bored, you know.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's a guest of James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks. They're good friends. I mean, that's the root of this.
Yeah, he's not...
No. I don't think he really knows much about sports, but
I think you're right.
Why don't you tell him that, Karn?
Yeah,
I'd love to. I'd like to.
Think, would you I like don't to think see? He knows much about government, but
would you like to see Karn take him on in a debate?
Yes, I would.
Would you like to debate Trump, Karn?
Oh yeah.
What would you start with?
Oh, I could start with anything.
All right.
I agree with you, and my money's on you because he just lies.
Back to the Hawks.
I think I'd first start with the cognitive test.
Okay.
Because I know about those.
All right, back to the Hawks.
Great. Okay,
anyway, guys, I was going to say the Big Ten didn't do very well in the in the baseball.
No,
I know. They're out now.
You know, I was actually rooting for USC against North Carolina. I'm like, why the hell am I rooting for you? And then I said, because they're in the Big Ten. You know, yeah. You kind of got a little bit of that.
The Big Ten, right.
You got that loyalty. I was rooting for USC and then ended up losing in the last inning. It was really
interesting. Well, that was the last ACC team in there, too.
It was it was a fun game to watch. Yep. North Carolina won 4-3 in Chapel Hill.
Right.
Yeah, the amount of people.
Kind of exciting game.
Oh, it was. It was well pitched, well played. It was a pretty quick game. I didn't watch it from start to finish.
And some of those games, the game that Georgia played, my gosh, I've never seen so many home runs.
Yeah, one game was 12-10. The other was like 11-9. Georgia won that one.
Well, those are fun to watch, though.
Yeah. Three home runs right in a row.
And it's amazing how many people watch those games. I mean, 10, 15, 20,000 people showing up at these super regionals.
Oh, brother, yeah.
One of them has a parking ramp that they basically convert into play. They charge fans. The parking ramp is placed perfectly next to the stadium. I can't remember where it was, Auburn maybe. And they have the whole parking ramp on the side was filled with people watching from the openings in the ramp. And those are paying customers. It was just, it was people everywhere.
Well, then didn't the team that won afterwards run up and shake hands with the people in the parking lot?
They may. I did not see that, but they may have, yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw them all take off running up there.
But yeah, no Big Ten team in the World Series.
No Big Ten team. And UCLA had been number one all year long.
Didn't even get out of their own regional.
Well, anyway, you guys have a good day. Don't get wet.
All right, you too, Karin.
All right, Karin.
Okay,
our baseball game, by the way, has been postponed till tomorrow.
The Regina Durant game?
Yeah.
What if it's raining tomorrow?
No, it won't be.
Oh, it's
going to stop this afternoon, and then it's going to pick up again.
Is it raining right now?
On Tuesday night. Well, it could. It says Tuesday night, but I think it's later on.
It's spitting right
okay.
now.
Okay, see, this is good, though, that it's not pouring right now. It's giving that water somewhere to go. Because, man, I looked out in my backyard, and this one area where I've got rid of the grass and have plants in there, it was a puddle of water.
Yeah.
During one of those 5-6 minute moments where it was just pouring. How much have we gotten over like since Friday?
Our rain gauge had an inch and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's at least.
This resets.
I'm guessing over two, probably close to.
It had, since midnight last night, it had 1.16.
Okay. And then there was a lot prior to the day before. So, but man, we needed it. We sure needed it, didn't we?
I swear the corn's grown 6 inches in the last 24 hours.
And my grass looks rejuvenated, and now I won't have to water for a while. I mean, maybe not have to water for the rest of the summer the way this has been. And then I see the heat's coming back, right? 90 tomorrow? Because I walked out this morning, and even though it wasn't hot, it was humid.
90 tomorrow, and then storms tomorrow night, then storms Wednesday in low 90s, and then storms Thursday and upper 80s, and then mid-80s for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So the drought is over, not that were we technically in a drought?
I don't think quite.
But we were close.
We were getting close, weren't we?
Yeah, we really needed this. And the nice thing, like I said to you, Tom, it didn't, at least not that I'm aware of, no major tornadoes or anything, horizontal derechos and all the other. It was just basic good summer rain, right?
I mean, there was some thunder and lightning.
Well, yeah, thunder, but nothing destructive.
No, not around here that I know of.
And there wasn't any major wind this time, which is kind of nice. But man, is it humid. I went for a walk yesterday when it wasn't raining. It was so humid. It was hard to breathe the air. It was like pancake syrup. It really was.
Humidity now is 96%.
What's the dew point?
66.
That's plenty.
That's plenty. Remember, Mace, if I saw out in the parking lot, he said the dew point is the real indicator of misery. I remember him saying that one time. So, but
Mace knows his stuff.
He knows misery.
Back to the Hawks. Oh, and then Kyle Olivo.
I saw that.
Shockingly. I was very surprised. I figured NIL persuasiveness. And, you know, the human nature of wanting to earn as much money as you can would maybe drive him somewhere else. But, man, I hand it to the young man. He's staying here at Iowa. And I'm sure it's not like he's staying here for peanuts. You know, it's not like Heller's throwing him boxes of peanuts. He's going to get paid. Don't get me wrong. But I'm pretty certain he could have made more money somewhere else.
I would agree.
And I give him a lot of credit for sticking with Iowa. They stuck with him after he injured his arm in high school, and I think there's a big loyalty factor tied into this. And I think it's pretty cool. And I wrote a column yesterday. I said my lead was okay. I'll admit it. I was wrong. I assumed he was gone. I assumed he would release, post on social media how much he loved these past 2 years, how much he loved being a Hawkeye, and thanks the fans. And then right then, that's when he reveals where his next school was going to be. But he didn't. He chose to stay on the same path, and at least for another year, which will be his third year. And if he has a big year, my guess is he'll be gone after next year to the draft when he's eligible.
Well, you would think so. I think he's got that level of talent.
Oh, he definitely has that level. I saw that just from watching the one game on TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see his stuff was electric. And then I saw the Cole Moore, the freshman, he ended up signing, committing to Nebraska, the freshman pitcher,
yeah,
who has an upside. He pitched well at times. He got rocked at times sometimes too, which is not unusual for a freshman, but he's going to Nebraska. But keeping Oliva was a big statement for Iowa baseball, and it says a lot about him. And I'm sure it wasn't easy for Rick and his crew, but they figured out a way to do it, and it did, of course, take some money.
Well, it does. Anymore, boy, that factors into every decision, and it does. And it's too bad, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Iowa probably outbid. I'm sure St. Mary's would love for Andrew McKeever to stay at there. Maybe he would have made more money at St. Mary's, but I doubt it.
I doubt it.
I'm sure he's making more money. It's just the way it is. I mean, sometimes you're on the winning side of it. Sometimes you're on the losing side. Iowa's been on both. Now, like with Cohen and Tringer, I have no idea behind that one. If that was just strictly money, that's still one of the most surprising ones to me. I mean, Brian Allen going to Vanderbilt was kind of surprising, too. Those ones, I just did not see those ones coming.
No, I didn't either, but, you know, who knows? I mean, for McKeever, you know, just being 7'3", you're an instant millionaire anymore, or double, you know, multimillionaire in his case.
Well, if you're good, I mean, there's 7-footers out there that aren't very. That 7'9" kid from Florida that plays for Florida, he's not very good.
Not yet,
at least yet. But no, McKeever's got some skill. The 7'3" of course helps, but no, that's the world we live in. That's why I thought Oliva would be gone, because I guarantee you there were schools from the South lining up to make offers to him, and maybe they already have, and he just chose to stay here, and hopefully that means Iowa's got maybe a little more NIL money than maybe I thought, but because, again, he's not pitching for free. I mean,
No. It's
a business now, and Iowa knows that, but they figured out a way to get it done, and I give the kid credit. It'll be interesting to watch. I know he's a two-way player, but, of course, his future's on the mound. It'll be interesting to see how they balance that next year. I mean, I think he made 28 plate appearances this year. So, but that was some of the big news, and then they got a commitment from a kid named Barius Allen, a 6'5", 300-pound defensive lineman who Tom Lemming says could also play tackle. He's a big kid, and he committed yesterday after making a visit. So they've got 11 kids in the 2027 class now. He's the
6'5", 300. That's pretty good.
He's the third defensive lineman to pick him. And he picked, kind of a typical Iowa recruit. He picked Iowa over Boston College and a bunch of MAC schools. At least those were. But he had, he had over 15 offers. Most of them were, like Miami of Ohio and Iowa's turned a lot of those types of players into stars.
Yeah, they really have.
So I don't really look too much at that stuff anymore. I guess for the moment, the thrill of getting somebody, it's more exciting. Oh, man, he picked Iowa over Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee and stuff like that. But really, I mean, they've shown that in a lot of ways that stuff's overrated with the guys they get. Now, they don't all pan out.
No,
but enough of them have panned out over the years for Iowa to have a very respectable program consistently and steadily under Kirk now. Now, this year, I'm not as confident. I mean, last year, I remember thinking they'd win. I do the same thing. I said 8-10 games. This year, I'm saying 7-10, and I'm closer to 7 than 10 this year because there's so much unknown, as we've talked about with the 2026 team.
Yeah, I haven't made any prediction, but I would imagine that's in that range. But that's generally a safe bet with Kirk's team.
Okay,
of course.
The dew point, according to Mace, this is set on the wrong setting. The dew point is 72.
That's when I thought 66 seemed a little low.
Yeah.
But, 72, no, it is. It's like a wet blanket out there.
Well, it is. I walked the dogs this morning just around the circle, and it was raining. It wasn't pouring.
Did you go see Uncle Ray again, and it says 71 on our machine.
You just had to update it, didn't you? Isn't it? because I do that a lot to like to see the traffic for the day on my site. I'll see if and then I'll hit update or refresh or something, then it'll update the numbers. Yeah. That's kind of what you just did. Yeah. Poor Ray. You didn't go see Uncle Ray with
did
the dog?
Not. No, it was raining enough to not.
Has the new dog taken to Ray yet?
No comment on Ray. She's not a snacker. So that's
so she doesn't need Ray.
Doesn't mean much to her as it does to Wopsy.
So does she avoid Ray?
No.
He's just there.
He is providing an unnecessary service for Bitsy.
But doesn't she appreciate him saying, "Hey, Bitsy, how are you doing?"
No.
She doesn't.
Bitsy doesn't care.
Okay, all right.
She's a good dog, though. She's a good dog.
And they're getting along?
Oh, I think Wopsy likes it.
Oh, that's even better when they get along. Two dogs is better than one because you know they're never alone.
Yeah, no, Wopsy, I think, has embraced. And we could have seen it coming because every time we've had a bonus dog stay with us, she has gotten along with them great.
That's usually a good sign.
Yeah.
Barry got along. We had Portwood's dogs one week or 2 weeks, and Barry got along perfectly. Barry got along with everybody
except Andy.
Except your dog. Well, if
Buddy and Lakota figured out a way to get along, anyone could.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was going to work. But that worked the right way, though, because we didn't just thrust Lakota on Buddy. Hey, you're living here. Lakota would make visits with my nephew. He'd make an hour visit. They got to kind of know each other over an extended period. And then when it came time to move in, Buddy's like, all right, let him in.
No, Andy sensed weakness with Barry and went to end it early.
Yeah.
Was Andy a tough dog?
She could be.
What would she have done with that 90-pound chow that I used to have?
The chow would be the winner, probably.
I would imagine.
Chows are built for mayhem.
You know, if you ever had a kid and you were embarrassed by something the kid did, whatever, you were like that with Andy. Andy comes in, we were in Coralville, comes in, brand new carpet and everything.
Yeah.
Just pieces.
A lake.
Oh, yeah, really.
Did you clean it, Suter? Or did you make Lang? Hunter wasn't there to make him do it, was he?
We had a carpet cleaner
come
in.
You had to call a carpet cleaner come
in? Well, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's not kidding about a lake.
Did you laugh this hard then?
Huh?
When it was going on?
It's a dog. I what am I supposed to
do? Well, at least it didn't poop.
Then Steve was trying to patch up Barry, had some spurting blood out
Barry
of his neck.
Barry just came right in here and sat behind me.
Now, what if Andy would have done that to Mo?
Mo would.
Imagine
Andy
that.
Would have had no chance against Mo.
Imagine Andy.
As none of us would either.
Imagine Andy attacking Mo.
I got along.
Do you want to imagine that, Captain?
I get along fine with Mo.
But do you imagine Andy attacking Mo, how that would go over?
No, it wouldn't go over. No. Well, Mo's head is so ridiculously large.
He's an anaconda.
I know.
He's got an anaconda head.
Yeah.
But no, I've told this story.
No, what is Mo? Just a big pit bull?
He's just there's breeds that are bigger than others.
Well, the head is bigger than the dog.
He barely gets through the door.
I mean, honest to God.
He doesn't have a sweet nature.
It depends.
We growled at you and I that one day. Oh, he's just
and
telling
what did
you
I do? I said, hey, knock that off. And he knocked it off right away.
But he still growled at us. You said he was telling us how much he loved us.
Yes. Well, it's like when I had, well, it's like Indiana the cat.
When you growl at Hunter?
Indiana the cat would bite, Jan's finger or something. And he bit me. And I say, that's just a love nip.
But no, when that chow killed that raccoon, that was like, what the hell? What do we have here? And then she wanted to cuddle.
Okay.
Afterwards.
My raccoon's got different markings, but this raccoon shows up yesterday. I got a picture of. Did you see?
I did.
Yeah. Came with three baby raccoons.
See, that would drive me freaking nuts. I would not. You're bragging about that stuff, and I think that's misery.
What? I don't have to raise them.
I wouldn't want them in my. Would you want that, Suter?
They just come.
We feed the livestock out front with
I'm already dealing with chipmunks and squirrels. Needed, I don't need to be in raccoons needed, pooping on my deck.
They needed food. They don't poop on my deck.
They poop on mine.
Well, good.
I know. Because they know I don't like them?
My raccoon sends them there.
Yeah.
Hey.
There's a little dispatcher, a dispatch unit. Yeah, got a Hardy's house.
Yeah, it hasn't pooped for a while. I mean, I think I've got the gate to where it can't prop it open. But then one time I saw one trying to climb over the fence. He made it up where then he decided, nope, and jumped back down and gave up. And I just started laughing. You know, but then yesterday I look out there and there's three massive deer. And they're sleeping underneath a shaded tree in my backyard. Yeah. And, of course, I cranked the music stereo so they'd hear it. I think I was playing Zeppelin, too. Maybe Houses of the Holy. Just cranked, and they all lifted up their heads. And then I went out to the deck, and I'm like, get out of here. And they looked at me like, pfft. And they didn't go anywhere. They're not going to go anywhere. No. And if I went down the steps, they may have charged
at
me.
They were in my, you know, they're in my yard. In the
they're not going anywhere.
And just laying there. I mean, they don't.
Well, these guys had to leap the fence to get in. The yard is enclosed. That's how much they wanted to get in. They like sleeping in my backyard, but they never rarely poop there, which is weird. But, yeah, and see, Lakota would have been in heaven. But three deer would have been in. I don't know how Lakota would have handled that, because deer can be. I've had one charge at me. It ran into my garage door.
You bet.
Yeah, they can be, especially depending on the time of year.
In rutting season, look the F out.
Yeah.
Remember when they rutted my car?
Yes.
No, they can be. And some of these deer that are in my backyard, in my neighborhood, are big ones.
I had a probe.
But they're not a
Ford probe.
I know, I've heard.
Accurately
but
named
they're not,
in this instance.
They're not really concerned with us anymore. You know? So it's just kind of wild because, of course, we're all old enough to remember when you'd see a deer like on the highway, you'd be like, wow, look at that, a deer. I remember as a little kid, if you saw a deer, now you just, I'm surprised if I don't see them in my neighborhood.
Yeah, they're not in the highway now.
They're here. They're in my backyard.
Yeah, mine
Hello.
Too.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, I can relate to, I just had to call. I've been listening to you for a little bit. I can relate to the deer just like everybody else here in Iowa City. I guess the city got their request denied for getting some monetary help. And,
yeah, we wanted sharpshooters. Iowa City wanted sharpshooters.
They bring that guy from New York, don't they? And he comes out here and kills a bunch of them.
They won't.
They're not doing that anymore?
The state won't allow it.
They'll do bow and arrows only?
That's what they're saying. For right now,
it's like Robin Hood. It's Robin Hood.
Yeah.
My brothers and I own some property up in the north end of Iowa City. And my nephews harvested three doe up here. Bow hunt. Course.
Okay.
Through the city program.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, oh, cool. So as long as you use bow and arrow, you can kill them. Is that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay.
And you have to go get certified, qualified.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to go.
So.
And it was. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, what's the reasoning behind obviously not letting guns? Is it is it strictly safety or what's because I'm.
I'm not sure about that because they've done the white buffalo in the past, so I don't know the particulars, the details. I was just going to – my original comment was going to be that tomorrow's the 3-year anniversary that I lost my German Shepherd.
Oh, sorry.
She's the one who kept the deer and the raccoons and the groundhogs away from my property.
Yep.
And after she was gone, actually before her, I had a lab mix that actually up here where I'm at now living, she actually killed 8 groundhogs. Not that I condone killing animals or nothing like that. I'm just the opposite.
Hey,
but
it's nature.
Them darn groundhogs, they can really mess up. I've got a couple old outbuildings and one has a dirt floor side and groundhogs really tear that. And I've got that problem going on now with the lack of a dog. So
I've
my
got
German Shepherd was the and the lab mix before her they were the enforcers up there.
Well, my suggestion to you is to get a dog.
Yeah, get another dog.
Oh, I've been
everybody's been telling me it was actually when I lost my first the lab mix Lacey, when I lost her, it was 3 years and now it's coming up on 3 years and I was down at the animal shelter just the other day. Just for the heck of it, I was out doing some errands and stopped in there. I actually saw a, I was at one of the thrift stores out there where the old Kmart building was, and somebody had left their dog in the car. It was real hot that day. They had the motor running. I didn't call 911 right away because I was going down the animal shelter, and I got down there, you know, within 5 minutes, and I told them down there at the animal shelter, and they were going to send somebody out because, you know, that car can shut off.
Yeah.
There was no occupant besides the dog. The dog didn't look like it was in distress or anything, but that car, I mean, and if you go into a thrift store, usually you're going to be in there for at least a good hour, maybe more.
Not me.
And
be about and, 1 minute.
Well, anyway, so the animal, and I saw a dog that I kind of got interested in down at the animal shelter. So who knows? I've got some traveling to do, and I'm not sure I'm quite ready for another dog yet. But
if you're not ready,
I'd love to get another German Shepherd because they're just amazing dogs.
They are good dogs. Go ahead.
I mean, my lab mix was a great dog. I got her in the divorce. Luckily, I got her in the divorce years ago, and she turned out 14 years, 8 months. She lived, and she was wonderful. And then this German Shepherd was even as good or in some ways better. And I'm thinking now if I get one German Shepherd, I might have to get two.
Well, my buddy's got a German Shepherd. My buddy's got a German Shepherd. That's great. I mean,
the hair is something.
The hair is horrible.
I mean, you know what they say about that hair? They shed twice a year, and it lasts 6 months each time.
Well, with my buddy's dog.
Thanks for the call, man.
I'm gonna let you guys go.
All right, we appreciate it.
I'll let you go.
You look at my buddy's dog, and it sheds, but it's a great, and it's huge. It's one of the biggest.
Like Lily.
And his dog's name is Taj. Remember, I've told you about the little Yorkie. Little Yorkie's getting old. He's starting to show some aging signs, and you know, I told my buddy just to take it one day at a time. You know, it's 14, 15 years old, but, you know, I can relate to exactly what that guy was saying about having a dog to protect. Remember?
Oh, you bet.
I mean, you used to, you thought that Lakota was mean and sort of unnecessarily violent.
Yes.
And all he was doing, I don't know why, was guarding the homestead.
You might as well call that dog OJ.
Well, Lakota didn't hide anything. I mean, I showed you pictures
I
brought in pictures of the dead carcass right lying with the Lakota standing over it.
Ew. All I know is my dogs have never been like that. None of them.
And Buddy wasn't like that, although he did kill a little bunch of baby bunnies when he was younger.
Okay, I take that was the only time. Yeah, you just reminded me.
You're going to tell the story about the
coming out. Rudy would
the hair coming out of the mouth. Baby bunnies. And the hair came out of the mouth, right?
Yeah.
And somewhere else.
Yes.
Jan just laughed. He came in, burped.
That's kind of like. Buddy's story was that when he bit in, milk flew out because they had all just nursed.
All right, you're listening to Pet Fanatics.
And I don't think Buddy ever attacked another. Whereas Lakota. If there was a squirrel, a pot, anything in the backyard, it was on. That's just how it was. I mean, if a never would have worried about a kid getting that, he would have loved the kid to death. But if there was an animal that went back there that wasn't a dog, it was on for some reason. And he was really quick. And I watched one time him going out. Rabbits are quick. They're not easy to catch.
No, they're not.
And he just kept at it. He cornered this thing and then boom, and it was gone. You know, and then I went out and took a picture of it.
All right. Let's take our break and we'll be right back.
1-800-800-ROSE. 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist, is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country. 1-800-800-ROSE. It's so easy. Just remember one number. 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist. 1-800-800-ROSE. Remember.
The next KCJJ radio auction happens this Friday morning beginning at 6. For a list of items, see our website at 1630kcjj.com.
For a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime, find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Pertin and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site, so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Pertin and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for 3 generations.
Pertin and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and PertinandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
Don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
If you live outside the city, you already know the struggle. Slow internet, drop calls, endless buffering, and promises from providers that never deliver. Well, now, things have changed. Big Dog Tech Solutions is proud to now offer Starlink Home Internet, bringing high-speed satellite internet to homes, farms, shops, cabins, and RVs across eastern Iowa and beyond. Starlink delivers fast, reliable internet where traditional providers can't. And Big Dog Tech Solutions makes it easy, setting up installation, networking, Wi-Fi setup, and local expertise you can actually call and talk to. So whether you're working from home, streaming TV, running security cameras, gaming, or just tired of terrible internet, it's time to upgrade. Call Big Dog Tech today at 319-395-0800. Or go to bigdogtech.net, that's bigdogtech.net, and ask about Starlink, technology that works where you live.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. As an Iowa City native, I know how frustrating it can be when any part of your plumbing system breaks down. That's why I only use trusted brands and quality materials. I offer same-day, next-day service coupled with a fair price. I also offer general service to mobile homes. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483.
Streets Maintenance. Honest plumbing at a fair price.
Your life is always changing, and a lot of things can affect how and what you save. So a good retirement plan changes with your life. At Wells Fargo Advisors, we believe conversation leads to financial clarity. So start a conversation today. Wells Fargo Advisors. Together, we'll go far. For information locally, call 338-3799 or 866-217-2369. Or stop by 501 12th Avenue, Suite 201, Coralville. Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member SIPC.
There's a problem here in eastern Iowa. There's not enough Hawkeye fans. I mean, really, shouldn't everybody be a Hawkeye fan? Well, maybe not, but you should be a fan of my team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Hi, I'm Steve Anderson, and my team of experts at Hawkeye Title and Settlement know what they're doing. Call us at 351-8600. Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703 or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental Team provide superior care for your entire family.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years. And it works. Deer divots and dings do damage, but Premier Auto will do right by you. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Do yourself a favor. When your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier. The deer don't like Premier, but you will. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Hit a deer? Call Premier. When you go to a family restaurant, you want three things. One, a wide selection of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Two, you want those selections to be affordable and delicious. And three, you want to be treated like family. You get all three at the Midtown Family Restaurant. Breakfast items available anytime the doors are open. Legendary tenderloins, onion rings, and hot roast beef sandwiches. Daily specials at each location, and no matter if you're coming in solo or with a group of 20, you get the same special family treatment. The Midtown Family Restaurants at Court and Scott Streets and at the Walmart Plaza. Plaza on Highway 1 West. Follow them on Facebook or at MidtownFamily.com. The family's waiting for you. GT Carr, owner of Supple's Building and Remodeling, has been offering unmatched service and quality for over 25 years. The trained professionals at Supple's Building and Remodeling will install and guarantee the products used in any job, no matter how big or small. They also stand behind their work and offer no-nonsense, exceptional customer service from design to completion and beyond. Whether it's a simple window replacement or a major house addition, you'll have the confidence that Supple's Building and Remodeling is committed to quality. Visit supples.net or call them today at 319-337-2246.
If you're looking for a trusted insurance guidance from someone who truly understands your needs, you can turn to me, Tiffany Rao, independent insurance agent. I specialize in Medicare and senior products, and I also offer coverage for those under 65 through the ACA marketplace, along with long-term care and cancer insurance plans. As a proud second-generation insurance professional, I bring local expertise and personal touch you can count on. Call me today at 319-631-4795, and let's find the coverage that's right for you.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gates and Terry Adams of Deary Brothers Ford talk about what here for you means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement here for you, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
At the Oxyoak Inn, we're ready to serve you with the same fresh food, prepared to order and served with a passion that you've come to expect for over 85 years. The Oxyoak Inn is serving our famous Sunday brunch buffet with lunch, dinner, family-style banquets, and carry-out daily. Make reservations at oxyoakinn.com or call for big or small tables and private rooms. We can't wait to serve you soon at the Oxyoak Inn.
The Oxyoak Inn.
In the heart of Amana.
It's as simple as ABC. Iowa City's news first, with world and national news every hour on 1630 KCJJ.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. One day after five people were stabbed at New York City's Penn Station, President Trump is set to attend Game 3 of the NBA Finals at Madison Square Garden, which sits directly atop the busy rail hub. All of this combining to create a unique security challenge in New York City, but the NYPD's interim chief of department, Michael LePetri, says...
Our posture in and around Penn Station will not change. We have hundreds of officers assigned to Penn Station and 34th Street subway stops in and around. That's why we do what we do as far as the deployment there, but it will not change in light of the incident yesterday.
Israel and Iran say they'll stop offensive attacks on the other after the two sides traded fire for the first time since the U.S. ceasefire 2 months ago. And Target's recalling baby wipes after some samples had bacteria that could be life-threatening. Customers should throw away Up It Up fragrance-free or fresh cucumber wipes. This is ABC News. Two Americans, a pilot and co-pilot, were killed when the plane they were in was attempting an emergency landing in the Dominican Republic. There were no passengers on board, but former Major League Baseball All-Star Yadier Molina said on social media that plane was bound for Texas to pick him up. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has been putting pressure on Vladimir Putin to meet to end the war between the countries that's been going on for more than 4 years. Zelensky told Sky News why he chose to send Putin a public letter.
I wanted very much to send him that to stop play these games and answer. If it's public letter, he has to answer.
Schmigadoon won Best Musical at the Tony Awards last night, honoring Broadway's Best. The revival of Death of a Salesman took home 6 Tonys. John Lithgow won the Tony for Best Actor in a Leading Role of a Play for his portrayal of children's author Roald Dahl. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
In a world parched for excitement, one drink will emerge. Twisted Tea, the refreshing thrill ride of flavor. Recreating its classic role as the hard iced tea that goes down smooth. Twisted Tea doesn't just taste like real iced tea, it's made with real brewed tea and a 5% kick of alcohol. Taste the adventure with Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
This is the story of the one.
The one who keeps multiple buildings running smoothly day after day. Plumbing that flows, HVAC that hums, cleaning supplies that keep surfaces sparkling. That's why she counts on Grainger. With easy reordering online and 24/7 support, Grainger helps her keep the products she needs on hand. So shelves stay stocked and buildings stay ready. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We are back.
We're back.
Yeah, men's basketball start their summer workouts this day.
Yeah, today.
Everyone's here.
And Iowa also has a kid named Keller.
Keller Daughtry.
Visiting 6'9". The recruiting people call him a hybrid. And he's from Lee's Summit, Missouri. He's here for the next 2 days visiting. I mean, 6'9". I mean, they seem to be getting a decent lot of players looking at him. And what have you, this kid from Washington was a four-star, that Ethan Harris picked Iowa over Gonzaga. So that's obviously a good sign. So we shall see.
Ethan Harris, a bright red hair.
He does have bright red hair, kind of little Aaron. Well, he turned out to be half as good as Aaron White. That'll be nice.
Boy, no kidding. Aaron White was just
good. He was going to go to Duquesne before Fran started recruiting him. That was one of Fran's best gets.
Yeah, it was. And the Murrays, of course, turned out to be.
Murrays were good. I mean, of course, were really good, too, and Luka. But Luka was a little different. Luka had offers. I mean, Fran was one of his first, if not the first offer. But by the time Luka was done his senior year, he had a ton of offers, good offers, too, and he stuck with Iowa. And, you know, it worked out for him.
Can you imagine how much Luka could have made on the
I also can imagine Luka doing a Kyle Olivo and staying at Iowa, too, due to his devotion to Fran. He really liked Fran. And I think Iowa would have done... They would have given him as much as they could, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been given a decent amount of money.
Yeah. Well, he was a great ball player for us.
And he actually found his niche with the Celtics. I mean, not a great defender, but, I mean, he's so skilled offensively, he found a way to get into, not necessarily consistently in the rotation, but when I watched him a few times, he played considerable minutes.
Yeah.
And he's already been in the league for, what, 5-6 years now? He's made, you know, he's got his second contract. He's made it. I mean, he's, you know, he can invest a lot of his NBA money. I mean, Chris Murray hasn't gone as well as it has for Keegan, but, you know, Chris is...
He's
still there. He's still, you know, he's hopefully he can get a decent second contract where Keegan already has his and what have you. So, I mean, I can remember, guys, when we didn't have anybody to talk. Once Reggie Evans retired and Brian, we didn't have anyone to talk about.
No, we didn't talk about Reggie Evans' kid, who's one of the top 20 recruits in the nation for his class. And Reggie's pitching for us.
How optimistic?
RJ, I think. RJ
Evans. How optimistic are you?
Oh, I'm never optimistic about recruiting because it's just, you never know.
Well, and
especially now.
And the father-son thing doesn't mean as much now because of money.
No, it doesn't.
You know, and if he's a top 20 kid, he's going to draw a lot of, you know, he's going to have a lot of suitors after him.
Yeah.
So we'll see, though. I mean, if Iowa comes and has another, you know, let's say they make it not necessarily to the, let's say they make it to the Sweet 16 and they end up going like 14-6. I mean, then they will have a ton of momentum. Now, of course, that's a huge if.
Both of those are huge ifs.
But, I mean, so we'll see. There's no guarantees. This year they struggled to go 10-10, and then, boom, they're in the Elite Eight. It was just crazy as that sounds. That's what happened.
Yeah, I would, and you might disagree with this, but I would say it would be easier for this team to get to the Sweet 16 than to go 14-6 in the Big Ten.
Oh, I would, too, because all it takes is 3 wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes you're lucky enough to get decent matchups to where one or two of those wins are not really that incredible. You just won a game that you maybe had a chance to win anyway.
Yeah.
Whereas the regular season grind, and every coach I've talked to over the years, McCollum said, he goes, there's nothing harder than winning a conference regular season title. That's the hardest thing to do in college. And it is. Now, is it the most noteworthy and the most spectacular? No, that's the tournament.
Yep.
I get that. So, but... sometimes you almost forget that Iowa went 10-10 this year, and you almost forget that the women went 15-3 because the exact opposite happened in postseason.
Yeah, it was. Taylor McCabe going down kind of decided, I think, really hurt us because then...
Well, obviously didn't help.
And nobody could pick up the slack.
It didn't help, but I just don't think they were built to... I mean, they easily could have, but I don't see them going elite. I just didn't think when you lose the way they did to good teams, they were not a Final Four team. They were not. Now, maybe they could have squeezed out one more win and get to the – if they would have just gotten to the Sweet 16 this year, I think that narrative wouldn't be near
100%.
I think it would have been somewhat softened. You know, there wouldn't be as many people – because, you know, man, her second year she made it to the Sweet 16. That's pretty impressive.
You know, you got to beat the number 10 seed on your home court. You have to.
You should, but I didn't think Iowa looked any better than that team.
No, they weren't. Not on that day.
They just didn't look any better. They didn't look any more skilled. They didn't look any more athletic. It looked like two evenly matched teams.
And that, what's her name, Kiomara Johnson and yeah, was did, terrific.
She entered the portal and ended up going back to Virginia, I think I read.
Yeah, I think so. So they came up with a pot of gold.
Well, don't they have a new head coach? Didn't that head coach?
Yeah.
I'm not sure who ended up getting the job. Mm-mm. So, but yeah, that's just, I mean, it's amazing what the NCAA tournament can do to change things.
Yeah.
Well. Change perceptions and narratives. It's just, I mean, because when Iowa was 10-10, there were some fans were frustrated. Man, this team's really struggling. Then boom. You know, when they went 1-1 in the Big Ten tournament, so that didn't really change
anything.
But then just three wins in the, and then you say, well, it sounds so easy. Well, if it was so easy, then why couldn't Alford, Fran, Licklow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not easy. But they made it look easy once they got into the tournament, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, they did make it look easy. And, well, the problem, of course, you know, 10-10 in the Big Ten, that was kind of, Fran was generally in, you know, the 8-12.
Fran was oftentimes a little better than that. They 11-9. I mean, they went 14-6 one year under Fran, I believe. But you get to 10, you're going to be in.
Yeah.
You get to 10 wins, you're going to be in the tournament, and then anything can happen.
And the problem with the 10-10 is they lost at least two or three games to teams they probably should not have lost to.
Yes, I mean, they lost at Penn State and Maryland. Now, the Minnesota loss in Minneapolis, no. The Minnesota was they won. Didn't they end up winning 8-9 conference games?
Yeah, they were decent.
They were not a horrible. No. Penn State and Maryland were not very good. They should not have lost those games. No. And they lost them the exact same way. They couldn't stop athletic wing players from getting to the basket in both cases. Somehow, they figured things out. But I also thought they had some pretty good matchups. I thought they matched up better with Florida than they did the other number one seeds, and I thought the matchup with Nebraska worked to their advantage.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's what it takes in the tournament.
No, exactly. And they took advantage of it. And
whereas I didn't think UNLV was a good match for Iowa all the way back in 1987, and then it turned out not to be, you know, I'm dating myself there, but I still can remember that game like it was yesterday.
Yep.
Now, were you?
No,
you were right in the middle of your band right there.
We were en route from Kalispell, Montana, to Missoula.
Yeah, you were sort of close. They were up in Seattle.
Yeah, we listened to the game, and when we got to our motel, got in there to watch the second half, and wow.
Well, I remember a lot of people I was watching. We got to slow down. We can't keep. That's not how they played under Tom Davis. They didn't really know how to slow down. You know, and they kept kind of playing the way they do. And just Gerald Patio got unbelievably hot from three, top of the key. Remember all those shots?
Yep.
And then Armand Gilliam was huge, too. I mean, he was controlling things inside. So
That was a great UNLV team.
That was the more modern era, even though it's 39 years ago. You know how things kind of go in different generations? That was you had the Pembroke Burroughs, Gerald Patio. They were two different eras separated by what? Just 17 years.
Yeah. And then the era before that was the Bucky O'Connor and
Bill Russell,
yeah.
How close was that game?
I think it was within 10.
Something like that, yeah. It wasn't like the game against.
I don't believe it. No, I mean, it was not.
I think it was clear that San Francisco was the best team in the country. Well, probably for the 2 years they had Bill Russell. They were unstoppable.
Yeah, and that, I believe, changed the goaltending rules was the.
I thought that was Jabbar. I thought they did that for Jabbar.
Well, I could be wrong.
I don't remember. All I know is that was that, am I right? Is that 70 years ago? Am I doing that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. 70 years ago when Iowa lost to Bill Russell in the NCAA tournament. That's, wait, 70, well, 56? 44, 20. 60
for 70 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's 70. Yeah, it's, wow. That's incredible. But, I mean, you weren't old enough to remember those games,
no,
were you?
No.
But your dad was at Iowa then, wasn't he?
Yes, but when I became cognizant of Iowa sports, we were at the top of the heap in men's basketball, and we were at the top of the heap in men's football.
So that would have been late 50s?
Well, went Bucky and Evie, yeah.
Mid to late 50s?
Yeah.
Boy, how things changed.
How things changed.
The 60s were not... I mean, of course, you had the six-pack in 69, 70. I get that. But the 60s were not real good in a lot of ways.
Sam Williams had a great team.
They had a couple years. Close. They had a couple years. But football, the 60s is when everything just started to unravel quickly. Quickly.
So true.
Quickly. You saw it right before your eyes.
And the 70s were
brutal.
Miserable.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Lauterbird, Jesus.
You'd see clips, you'd see photos of guys playing in the 70s, and there'd be just empty seats everywhere in Kinnick. It's so weird seeing stuff like that now.
Yeah, well...
And couldn't you literally back then just walk up, and just literally walk in and watch the game, like sitting on an embankment or something like that? And now it's like trying to get into
Fort holes for a dollar.
And now it's like, you know, trying to get into Fort Knox. You know, you got to have your... And rightfully so, I get that. But no, in the 70s, just goes to show you, even a fan base as devoted as this, we've seen it with football then, and we saw it with men's basketball. The fans can only take so much.
Yeah.
And Hello. Yeah.
Hello. I got a little Bucky O'Connor story for you.
Sure.
All right.
He used to go around speaking at booster clubs, and I'm from West Branch. One of the older guys, I wasn't there myself, said he came to speak to their booster club one night, and he was describing that game. And he said, I knew we were in trouble when Bill Russell got out of the taxi cab, reached over the roof, and opened the door on the other side.
And he wasn't even that tall when you think of Bill Russell was 6'9", which today's, hell, that's point guard.
Yeah, he had really long arms. Man.
He did. He really did. No, he did.
That's funny.
That is a funny story.
Always liked Bill Russell as a human being.
Me too. Yep. And, you know, he played in a rough... Thank you. Boston was not an easy town to play in the 60s and the 70s.
No. Boy, they had some good teams, though, man.
Well, how many? What did he win, 11 NBA titles?
Jeez, I was on Havlicek.
I mean, he's the greatest winner of all time.
Larry Siegfried.
I mean, Havlicek was mostly he played some with Bill Russell, but Havlicek was, I mean, I remember watching him like in the early and mid-70s. And Boston was still pretty good then, but man, the mid to late 70s, they really dropped off, and then Larry Bird came. Then, of course, the rest is history.
As they say, the rest is history.
I caught myself watching a little bit of the Bobby Knight documentary on 30-30. Yeah, I've seen it before, but God, I mean, it was, he had everything going for him, and yet he just couldn't control his mean side. And it caused him, he also didn't do a good job of adapting with the times either. I mean,
no, he didn't.
And, you know, his teams in the 90s weren't very good. I mean, he lost in the first round five. Here, we got a caller.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, guys, a couple of comments. I can remember talking to Sherman one time, and he's talking about the game against Bill Russell. He said, example, he said he backdoored his man on offense and went in for a layup. And Russell, he didn't even see Russell. He just reached out and blocked his shot. And he says they just couldn't get any shots off inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he was known for more than anything, defense.
Yeah. And Russell was the reason that they changed the goaltending rule.
It was Russell?
Rule. Yes. Oh, okay. And it was Wilt Chamberlain that they changed the width of the lane to what it is now.
And then Jabbar had to come in and deal with both of those things because he came after those guys. That's right. Because when Jabbar was in college, he couldn't dunk, and they had changed the width of the lane too. That is interesting how the game evolves.
Yeah. And the other comment I had is, I'm the same age as you are, so my recollection is about the same as yours is on basketball. And the thing I remember about the 1970 Iowa men's basketball team going undefeated in the Big Ten is, and it doesn't get talked about a lot, is that that was a really good year in the Big Ten. There were some outstanding players in the Big Ten that went on and played in the NBA. And to do that, was it 14-0?
Yeah.
It's still just remarkable that they were able to attain that in what I thought was a really difficult league with guys like Hudson from Minnesota and of course, Mount.
Rick Mount. Oh, yeah, Lou Hudson was really good. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Rudy, Tom.
Yeah, yep, at Michigan.
Tom Janovich.
Tom Janovich. Yep.
Michigan, yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep, good point.
And I think Bill Hoskett was at Ohio State. I might be wrong on that, but I think it was about that era.
It sounds
anyway,
right.
Yeah, that was just a great year for them. And in terms of basketball in the 60s, yeah, I thought it was really good all throughout the Ralph Miller time, with starting with Chris Perval and George Peoples.
Oh, I love those
then,
guys.
And of course, Sam Williams was my all-time favorite player. And then, of course, John Johnson and Fred Brown.
Yep.
And and I'll just say one thing about those guys is I lived here locally and played basketball in high school, and I'd go over to the field house in the summertime in the evening to play, and those guys would often offer me to play with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so cordial from them, and they were great guys to play with. And Fred Brown was one of the best. He'd always say, get your shot. And
that's good to hear.
I just wanted to stay out of the way.
Yeah, my
I'm sure I didn't hurt anybody.
My brother Steve did the same thing. He played a lot of pickup games. Yeah, he played against some of those guys too. And said
and
the same things that you are.
Another guy that played in the evening over there, like, was a pretty good player, was Danny Green.
Oh, sure,
Danny Green was a good basketball, but a good athlete.
Yeah.
And, of course, came with Rainback. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank
you. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
I mean, Danny got heavy.
He did.
In his adult years, and I think that made it easy to forget. He was a running back at Iowa and a really good one.
Yes, he was. And he was a really good one when there weren't a lot of really good players on the team also.
No, and I thought he was a pretty good coach, too.
He was.
He's passed away far too soon. But yeah, no, in the 60s, they were better in the mid to late 60s than they were in the early, mm-hmm. just like they were in the 70s. I mean, they were, of course, horrible under Dick Schultz. And it took Lute a little bit. By the late mid to late 70s, they were... Ronnie came in 76,
mm-hmm.
and that was the start of the rise under Lute. I think getting Ronnie was, of course, the key to it all.
God, what a player he was, man.
That's where Lute built everything around, and then Lute tried to replace Ronnie with, he was right in the mix for Isaiah Thomas. Remember, it was DePaul, Indiana, and Iowa. And I thought he was going to go to DePaul. Remember, Terry Cummings was going to come to Iowa, but supposedly he had a dream that told him to go to DePaul, probably along with some other, I think there was maybe...
some other inducements?
Yeah, that's just my theory. And, I mean, Lute was in on a lot of those guys from Chicago.
He was,
and Terry Cummings turned out to be a great player for DePaul, and he played a long time in the NBA, too. But yeah, it's interesting listening to you, I don't want to say old-timers, because I'm not exactly young. But talking about that game in the 70s, because, it really ripped the souls out of a lot of people. I'm obviously not old enough to have remembered it.
Yeah, that was...
What's your worst football loss?
Probably the Chuck Long Rose Bowl.
That was pretty tough.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that made it maybe... I mean, I think losing the way the 70 basketball team loses, gut-wrenching, at the... But at least with the Rose Bowl, you pretty much knew that the game was over. It felt like that game was over at halftime, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely.
Just like it felt like the 1991 Rose Bowl was over. Remember, that was 33-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
And then Iowa made some stuff in the second half, and now that game was over.
But it didn't matter.
And then the game in 82, that game never felt like it started for Iowa. The 28th.
No.
And that game.
That wasn't.
It was so boring. I was so excited. I would have been a sophomore in high school then, I think.
Didn't have any offense. 81.
No, I would have been a junior. And the game was so boring.
It was. We just couldn't move the ball.
Jock Robinson carried like 28 times for 140 yards. He'd get six here, six there. All it was.
Wasn't he like their third string guy?
That I don't remember. But it wasn't like he was some phenom. And it was just
and
their offense.
UCLA did the same thing.
Eric Ball.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we found out later that they saw something with the Iowa defense that triggered.
Would have a tell, yeah.
Something that revealed that what they were going to do, and they kept running that same cutback play, and I felt so bad for my high school buddy George Davis, because oftentimes he was the one left on an island, and there were times where he just didn't have the lateral speed to catch up with Eric Ball, and boom, next thing you know, and it wasn't just on George, it's a team sport, but they just, I mean, UCLA was a much better team that day.
They were. They sure were.
And it was just weird watching that Iowa team because the loss at Ohio State, I mean, it was Ohio State. It was there. It was wasn't it pouring down rain?
Miserable weather.
That one you could explain. The Rose Bowl was tough to explain. That one I just did not see that coming. Now, of course, the four fumbles, that's a big part of the narrative in which Hawkeye fans are going to be divided forever on. And remember, we had Ronnie on, and he said, I just had a bad day, and I'm going to take him for his word. And now some people will roll their eyes.
Well, what do you expect him to say?
Yeah, I got a lot of that.
Yep.
But I've had other people, including Hayden and Don Patterson, who swear by Ronnie in that situation. Because remember, Don told us that he found out later that UCLA – They prepared for the way. Remember, Ronnie sometimes carried the ball like a loaf of bread.
He did
because he was always looking to maneuver and what have you. And I think they kind of exposed that.
Yeah, they did. They took advantage of it, and it's good coaching.
Yeah, it was. But that was a disappointing one. That was probably my, because I mean, I knew guys on that team. That was my age. That was my junior year. I knew a lot of guys personally on that team. Guys I grew up with. Well, not a lot, but three or four. And it was tough seeing them, you know, take it on the losing end as hard as they did.
Because as far as football goes for me, you know, the 60s and 70s, the team wasn't very good. So there weren't a lot of gut-wrenching losses. You know, no. I mean, there just weren't.
Now, there were a few, like the wins over Penn State. Didn't Cummings beat UCLA once? He upset a couple, didn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, he was actually close.
He was Mr. 5-6. That's as best as he could do. If he had just played a Kirk or Hayden non-conference schedule, some of those 5-6s would have been 8-4.
And same with Ray Nagel.
Yep, and they would have survived. Yeah, but Ray Nagel had Evie against him. And I think Ray Nagel never really got a fair shot.
No.
And Evie's daughter even kind of agreed with us when we talked about that. Evie, why would you hire a coach and then sabotage him? Didn't he hire Ray Nagel?
Because you wanted the job.
But
you wanted...
But wouldn't you, even though they're not giving you the job, wouldn't you still want to hire somebody that you like and want to work with?
Yeah, you would think so.
I never understood why Evie would sabotage his own system, his own environment and program. It just didn't make any sense. I mean, he was power hungry. And, you know, he probably would have been successful. It would have been interesting to watch Evie evolve from one platoon to two platoon football, because there's a big difference. I mean, one platoon football, you don't have to coach near as many guys.
No, that's true.
And the game changed. I'm guessing he would have evolved with it, because I think Evie would have always been able to recruit.
And he was very open to having minority players.
Well, he was one of the first. And,
yeah.
You know, and I remember I read something about him, and someone asked him, why would you? He's like, they're good if you see them play. I mean, part of it was self-serving, but a part of it was fairness and equality, too. And because Iowa was, I mean... Wilbur Jackson was the first black player to play for Alabama, and that was in the early 70s.
Isn't that incredible?
I mean, Kenny Holbrook played at Iowa in 1896, right out of Tipton, Iowa. You back with us, Captain? You've been Mr. Technology here for a while.
Oh,
buzzing all around this station.
Yeah, it was
got things fixed?
Problem with YouTube, yes. And people were complaining, and...
And you fixed it.
And I fixed it, yeah.
The fix was in.
It was really hard to fix it. Somebody pulled the cord out of the...
Seriously?
Yes.
Out of what?
Out of the laptop that's streaming it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was what you discovered, like, eventually? Or not right away, obviously?
No, eventually.
Okay.
Because I am a licensed broadcaster.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
and for those people that...
So when you use the F word...
I've never used the F word on here. I don't think I have.
No.
One time I did.
Commercial breaks.
Oh, yeah, that's F words.
I'm afraid I did one.
Well, it picked it up on the YouTube stream.
Ah.
Uh-oh.
Not on our audio stream or anything, so...
What does Spotify have to say?
They don't really care, because that's the difference.
Well, when I turned you guys on today, it was you and Mace and Hunter talking about Bread.
Yeah.
The band Bread.
I like Bread. Oh, the band Bread. I liked a few of their songs.
Jeez.
And I think it was Hunter that said there is a imitation band called Toast.
Toast, yeah. Seriously.
What do you think of that, Suter?
Wow.
A tribute band.
That's the word I was looking for. What did I say?
Imitation
band. Toast. Well. Well, they kind of are. Yeah, that's kind of what they are. Tribute band.
Tribute's probably a loftier term to use. Yeah. But
I'd say imitation.
Imitation.
Imagine imitating Bread.
No.
Like they may do like a metal. Do they do like a metal version of Diary?
Yes. I think the Foo Fighters redid it.
Is it the Hall of Fame stuff, the induction? Was it just here, or is it about... Doesn't it usually happen in the summer, the rock and roll? And don't they do that at the Kennedy Center usually?
No.
Where do they do it?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. I thought for... Oh, no, I'm getting it mixed up with where Zeppelin played. Okay, yeah. So they do it. It's always in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that coming up this summer, or have they already done it?
I have no idea.
You know, Hunter? Okay,
I don't really pay attention
to it anymore. I don't pay attention to it much,
ridiculous.
Although we have discussed the... I thought this incoming class... That's where they've done it? So it's not always...
I thought it was at the museum. It's not?
Okay.
Okay. Well,
but no, I...
shows you
remember,
how much I know.
Well, I don't watch it anymore. Now, I will say the Linda Ronstadt induction was... She wasn't there, but man, it was great because... They had, you know, Bonnie Raitt.
I saw that. So
that was incredible. That was a really good one, but a lot of them haven't been that good. Like the one this year, hardly any of the acts I even like that were in, and a lot of them are not even...
They're just not rock and roll bands.
Yeah, we've discussed this ad nauseum. It's just, it's now, it should just be the Music Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Shouldn't it just be the Music Hall of Fame?
Or the Pop Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And then again... We could go
Matthew
on.
Wilder's going to be in it next year.
Does that break my stride?
Yeah.
Good old Matthew.
No, he's not.
No.
Matthew Wilder or the Doors?
Well, they probably pick Doors. Matthew Wilder, but
you're
no,
thinking about
Doors.
You're thinking about that.
No,
you give Jim an edge over Matthew
I'd
Wilder?
I'd give Jim the edge over
yes,
okay. Matthew
he's
Wilder.
He's looking down and smiling, or maybe looking up. Who knows?
Yeah. I would give him a big edge.
Oh, okay. What else we got, Hawks?
Oh, boy. This time of year
it's June. It's June 8th. Well, we got our boy Luke Kanep. Didn't he say Wednesday? He runs in 2 days. Our steeplechase guy.
Oh, yeah.
I actually had a couple of people come up and say they really enjoyed
it. Yeah, I have too.
They're like, man, I never really knew about the steeplechase. That was fascinating. Listen to that young man talk.
I never knew about it. I've heard of it, but I never knew about it. But
didn't he say the water?
I'm looking at, like, I was interested in that. That night, I looked at some of the video, and I go, this is ridiculous.
And what's funny is,
oh, it's, do it's, it.
Yeah.
2 days ago, I was walking out of Hy-Vee, and who was walking in? Randy Jackson. And I told he didn't listen. He was working, but I told him that we had a little bit of discussion, and I think he appreciated that. But didn't he say that in its deepest part, the water is 2 feet deep?
He said, yeah, because it was kind of, it's kind of slanted.
Yeah, slanted. Obviously, they're going to always jump beyond the deepest part, but it was just...
Why in the hell do you do that?
What I thought was interesting with him, he said, hey, there's a lot of guys faster than me in 3,000 meters. Where he makes up his time is he's really good at the barriers.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's why they put him at the steeplechase.
Yeah.
That's coaching. I give Joey Woody credit. They identified that. But no, that was a really, really enjoyable interview.
Yeah.
And it was it's just fun talking about something. I love basketball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
It's sometimes it's just neat learning about other things because there's so many different sports at this.
Do they ever broadcast that?
Well, the NCAA steeplechase is on.
Yeah, and the Olympics. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Well, okay.
But yeah, I mean this weekend.
Well, never.
This weekend it'll be on. It's the NCAA Nationals are this weekend in Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
And so I'm going to try. Didn't he say he's ranked 12th?
I think that's what he said, 11th or 12th.
Which is pretty impressive. I mean, because he's, that was fun. I really enjoyed that. And, there's not a lot good. This would be about the time the primetime league would be starting. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's been gone for a while now. I think it's been gone for maybe over a decade.
And you'd see some of the new recruits coming and putting up 43 points.
Oh, people, that 7'3" guy would have 18 blocks and 40 rebounds and, there'd be people saying, bring on Wembanyama.
I went to one, and
you went to a primetime out at North Liberty or at City or West?
I think it was North. It wasn't air conditioned. I went with Buddy.
Well, then it wasn't. North Liberty was air
conditioned. North Liberty was air conditioned.
Well, wherever it was.
Then you were at, my guess is you probably went to, well, you either went to City or West.
Well, I kept having to wipe my glasses.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I mean, it was.
I hated.
It had to be 110.
I hated covering that for the press. Because, you know, that's big stuff back in the, you know, the day. There wasn't, that, a lot of that was before the internet. That was big news. I mean, we used to drive good traffic, but I had to cover those all the time for the Press Citizen. And I didn't mind. It was convenient covering it at City High, just driving literally not even a mile down the road from the Press Citizen, but it was so hot in there. I mean, Larson would come out there with that towel. He'd be wiping sweat off five or six times during the course of a game. You'd see people fanning themselves and just it was brutal.
I had to keep wiping my glasses on my shirt or jeans or something because I was just...
Why that North Liberty Rec Center turned out to be a nice... thing for both the men and the women. And, you know, there's times where I miss it. I mean, there were times where I'm like, I don't want to drive out there tonight. But it would be good for traffic right now.
Yeah.
It really would be good for traffic.
Well, it was fun. It was fun. That's what it was. It was fun
as
to see.
As long as nobody got hurt and there weren't any men. Dean Oliver got injured out there after he had finished playing at Iowa. But luckily there weren't any major injuries,
I remember. And for the fans, you know, it gave you a very optimistic view of the new players.
There were a lot of All-Americans that were tabbed at the North Liberty Recreation Center or Community Center.
Yes, there were.
That was around the time I first met Buddy.
You're talking about Bud Supel?
Yeah.
Okay. So you met him in the early 90s? Or eight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't know him before you moved. You didn't know him before you bought the station and moved
here? 94. I came here in 94.
Okay, so you got to know him after you came here. That makes sense.
Well, the first day, he called me the second day I was here. And he goes, "Are you the new owner?" And I said, "Yeah." "Who in the hell's doing that morning show?" is exactly what he said. And I said, "I am." "Are you going to keep doing it?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, and I thought he was going to just, and
rip
he goes,
you.
"Sign me up." And I turned him over to, to you, and they've been on ever since.
Bud and I had her up. Bud and I had our ups and downs.
Well, you just, you know.
I was the Hawkeye hater.
Yeah. Damn Press Citizen.
Bud didn't want objectivity.
No.
He was not interested.
No.
He was not interested in anything to deal with objectivity.
Not at all.
No.
And I'll give him credit. He was willing to admit it.
No, he admitted it. I'll tell you, going to those football games.
You bastard.
Half of the fun was being with Buddy.
Called me a bastard one time. A Hawkeye hating bastard.
Did he? I don't remember that.
Well, you weren't there. It was, you weren't around him all the time. I did have some interactions.
Oh, he called you to your face.
Yeah, yeah. And they, remember they had that they'd have that TV show? Remember him?
Yeah,
and the guy with the dog?
Opinion.
Yeah, and I'd turn that on every once.
Yeah, Dirk.
On.
Bob Boyd.
They'd be just ripping me.
Yeah.
Balmer used to rip me on there. He told one time to turn the Press Citizen over. He couldn't read the article I had. I got a kick out of that. Hawk-hating bastard.
Wow.
What do you think of that, Suter?
I think that's...
a little harsh?
No, I think spot on.
At least I know I was being objective.
Yeah, but that's Bud Buddy.
Bud was a good. I'm curious if Bud Live now. How would he be? What would he be thinking about this NIL stuff?
He wouldn't like it.
Would he be a contributor? As much as he could. I'm not.
Yeah.
He wouldn't like it though, would he?
No,
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he would.
No.
Wonder what Hayden would have thought of NIL. And social. You imagine Hayden dealing with social media? Oh, my God.
No.
Could you have imagined that? How about Evashevsky with social media? Poor Evashevsky on Twitter.
He'd be on Twitter.
Twitter. Give me your address. I'm going to come over and kick your ass.
Musk would have to ban him.
He'd be too afraid to ban him. He'd heard stories about him. No, that's that Evashevsky. I'm not telling him what to do. I think some of the stories about Evie have probably been a little overhyped, don't you think, Tom? Some of the... But there's probably a little...
Maybe.
Like the one about the big guy on the team that was going to, day one, tell him where he could put it, and Evie called him into his office.
Is that
the
George Lewis?
I may have been... You've heard that story, too,
right? Oh, yeah.
or Al Lewis or something. And they, instead, Evie looked up and said, "What do you want?" And the guy just melted. Did you, you've heard that story.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true 100%. Or not, but I've heard that story. That's one of my favorite ever shows. And he just, once it became, kind of like Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until you get hit in the face. That's kind of how I was dealing with Evie as far as I was
concerned. Everyone has a plan until you hit him in the mouth.
Well, that's a unique situation, too, because, you know, Evie was pretty young during most of
it. He was.
There was probably a lot of years where he probably was the toughest guy on that football team.
Oh, he was?
Because didn't he teach arm-to-arm?
Yes.
He taught arm-to-arm combat in World War II. I mean, think about that.
Oh, yeah. No, he was tough, and he was...
Mean.
He could be mean, yeah, but his player, most of his players loved him.
They did. He kind of had the Bobby Knight thing when Bobby... Yeah. But Bobby Knight just eventually took it too far, of course.
Yeah.
They showed some of the times where he just... went after like people at press conferences, and then I forgot that he made those ridiculous remarks to Connie Chung about rape. Remember that?
Yeah, well, so, he was yesterday Meet the Press. He would have.
Well, I mean, he made, I forgot right he away. Said if it's happening, you may as well just.
If sit. Rape is inevitable, yeah. Sit back and enjoy it.
I mean, yeah. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, and that was the begin. That was in '88. That's when things started to.
That guy was just miserable. Just absolutely. Just
he really was a lot more miserable than I. And I remember some media people that aren't around anymore. They somewhat, like just the way he treated secretaries and stuff like that. Oh, just yelling and screaming. And just, he had so much to be happy about, too. And he just couldn't help himself.
Yeah. Roger Waters.
Another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he doing now?
Yelling.
Still just bitching. I mean, he needs he needs to go away.
Yeah, he was bitching about our audio earlier.
Is he listening?
Yeah.
So is he still touring? I mean.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Does he have anyone? I'm sure even though he's nuts, there's still a lot of people probably would want to play with Roger Waters just because he's Roger Waters.
Well, he kicked his kid out of
there. I knew that. I knew he kicked his kid out of
there. And then he wouldn't let him perform. And they finally settled that.
That's another one. Just
where he couldn't. But the court said, you can't stop the kid from performing.
Just enjoy what you've accomplished. Don't you agree?
Evidently, he can't.
He can't. David Gilmour seems to be pretty well adjusted.
Yeah. Well, all the rest of them.
Well, there's three left.
I sent you a poster.
I saw it. I did see that this morning. I didn't see it last night. What was that from? That's not from something now, is it?
No.
That looked like late 60s.
No, Pink Floyd at in Hamilton, Ontario. And... you know, pictures of them, and then it says dance exclamation point Pink dance.
Yeah, when I so don't get me wrong, guys, I love Pink Floyd, but I don't really call it a dancing band.
No.
I mean, there's not many Pink. You imagine dancing to like Us and Them?
Comfortably, no.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, think about that. Yeah.
No, they were not a dance band.
See Emily play.
But that's how they promoted it.
That is wild.
Well, Dick Clark had them on the bandstand.
He had him on, though, before they converted. Yeah. He had him on during the Syd Barrett, kind of the weird apples and oranges, weird stuff in the late 60s. Because when they got rid of, when Syd left, they changed.
Yeah.
They changed a lot. So, but.
You know, that damn show had, I wish they would release, they won't release it because of music rights and crap. But, you know, he had Hendrix on and he had all these.
I would love to watch stuff like
but
that.
But you can see some of the old shindigs and Hullabaloo.
Yeah.
Where do you find those?
YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But I would like a channel.
And
though,
if you go to YouTube, there's a guy that posts a new, I don't know where he got them, but posts a new American Bandstand like every week on Saturday, like they were last broadcast. Every week he posts another American Bandstand. And but, some of them are, you know, the Doors. And,
I mean, I love Don Kirshner and Wolfman, that stuff late at night on Friday. I loved that stuff as a kid as I was just starting to grow into my teenage years.
You know, but when they would post, like, the Doors and something that Ed Sullivan would make them edit, you know, he made them edit that time.
But Jim didn't do it.
Yeah,
well, he said hire, and and you heard the story. He's like, "You'll never be on my show." And Moore's like, "We just were, dude." And he walked off.
Well, see, and Bandstand never, because it was lip sync, and they didn't edit anything, so they didn't, you know, they didn't.
To think though, the word hire back then,
yeah,
and then a few years later, you got Archie Bunker. Explain that to me. The funny thing though is, if you watch that video of them singing "Light My Fire," when he says hire, they cut to Robbie Krieger and he's smiling. He's like, I knew Jim was not going to follow the rules. And Sullivan, what I read after that, he got irate when the show ended and says, you'll never be on this show. And that's when Morrison said, we just were their coach and that left. And that's a pretty funny story.
It is.
See, I'm not old enough to remember the Ed Sullivan show. I don't.
It ended in 71 or
two. Yeah, I was 7'6". Yeah. But Kirshner and stuff, that went through the 70s, didn't it?
Well, it was so ridiculous because you'd have, you had the Beatles and then somebody came
Topo
out.
Topo Gigio.
Topo Gigio, and then somebody came out and with spinning plates on a stick.
Red Panda.
And you're going, what?
So what was Don Kirshner's rock concert? There was Wolfman Jack. What was that called?
Midnight Special.
Okay, and were they competing against each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One was on what? NBC?
Kirshner was syndicated.
Okay.
And so, NBC Midnight Special was.
I used to love that.
You know. And then there's on YouTube, there's Dick Clark had a Saturday night show called The Beach Nut Show.
I remember. I sort of remember that.
You bet.
And they had, Sam Cooke and all these, out of the, 50s and late 50s and 60s, but yeah.
Okay, I remember watching the concert for Bangladesh. Which one would that have been on? It was on. It was really early, and I would George Harrison, and I remember watching that in my buddy's basement. What channel would that have been on? Because I saw that on TV.
I don't know.
I mean, that was. Do you remember the concert for Bangladesh?
Oh yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was a really. I'd love to be able to get that.
I remember
soundtrack.
Buying that.
You got the soundtrack?
I bought the soundtrack. It was three albums. At least, maybe four. Oh. And it was 30-some bucks at the time.
I'm guessing.
It was a lot.
I'm sure it's still available somewhere, but I just remember watching that, and I was fascinated that it was. That was for flood victims, wasn't it? Or was it earthquake? Or was it just famine?
I think famine relief, okay. I think.
And that was early 70s, right? Like 72?
Yeah. I think there was bad flooding, and it was a disaster.
But I just remember. I remember George Harrison was a big part of it.
Yeah,
God, to think that was almost.
You can see it on Amazon.
Oh, you! I wonder if you can if they still make DVDs of it.
Probably.
I've got the last one.
They're making DVDs at all.
Do they even make them anymore?
Not a lot.
No, not a lot.
I have The Last Waltz as a DVD that I throw on every once in a while.
Oddly enough, I've only seen that once. And it was like...
It was kind of boring.
Ann and I watched it 7 or 8 years ago. It wasn't for us.
It was so... Yeah, I mean, I think just owning it is part of it because it's the, But there were points when I listened to it that's kind of boring.
Well, fair enough.
I mean, I think the band has a lot of songs that are boring. Don't you?
I love the band.
I like them, but they're kind of like Dylan. I think some of their songs are...
No, that's fair.
A little just, okay.
No, that's fair.
But I like the band too, so...
And it was, I loved The Last Waltz. It was fascinating. I don't know why it took me so long to watch it.
I've watched it. I've got the soundtrack DVD. I've probably had it for 25, 30 years.
It wasn't on a network. It was syndicated. It was not originally
The Bangladesh?
Yeah.
So where would I have been watching it?
Whoever picked up the syndication.
Oh, okay. Because I do remember watching it like on a Friday or Saturday night, really late at night. And I'm like, wow, this is cool.
Hello.
Hey, dudes.
Hey.
Hey, I'm not going to pretend I know as much as old Grandpa Dirk. I did wind up looking at Wikipedia, but the concert for Bangladesh was for refugees of a civil war.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. Figured it was something like that or weather-related. But
famine was a huge, huge problem.
Yes, and wasn't George Harrison a big part of it?
Yes. He was the force behind it.
That's what I thought.
But it still is a problem there.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, and that performance holds a special place in my heart because my son Liam was born with George Harrison playing Here Comes the Sun in the background.
Oh,
wow.
And it was the concert of Bangladesh.
Okay.
Oh, very cool.
Good tune.
Good story.
All three of my kids were born with different versions of that song. Of course, my oldest with the original Beatles album cut, and then my daughter, Haven, with Richie Havens playing Here Comes the Sun in the background.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing any sun right now.
Wow.
So
what did you have it on a tape loop? Here Come the Sun versions, or?
I had it on my cell phone, and didn't get any objections from the doctors and nurses. Just you know,
I got you.
Some hippie people will say, "Oh, you know, water birth," or you should have wind chimes in the background. And I was like, "Well, I think the Beatles are a pretty good thing for somebody to have as their first thing they ever hear."
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, have a good one, guys.
Very cool.
Well,
thanks,
if you could
dude.
Pick any song to have been played at your birth, what would it be, Suter?
Fire.
By who?
I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't.
What would yours be, Captain?
It would be a Beatles song, probably.
Goodbye, Cruel World by James Darren.
No, you're just coming into the cruel world. Why would you be saying
that? See the circus. Gonna fit.
Hey. Yep. Richie Havens.
He sang that at Woodstock, didn't he?
Yeah. And then the promotion company sent me to Mount Pleasant, to the Mount Pleasant High School. He was performing at the Mount Pleasant High
School.
He
went from Woodstock to the...
Yeah, and he was such a nice man.
I remember you telling that story. I always like hearing that.
Really nice, you know, and really good.
He That's was interesting. Down to zero teeth by then, wasn't
That's
he?
That's interesting. That was before implants. Wasn't that before implants? He was... That's interesting that he was playing at a high school gymnasium.
It was packed.
You got to play.
Yeah, no, I get you.
No, he was just great. And, you know, afterward...
He was good at Woodstock.
Talked with everybody, signed all the autographs and everything.
So he's a little nicer than...
way nice.
Chuck Berry?
Huh? Chuck Berry was okay after you gave him the money.
Okay.
Give me the money. I mean, he wasn't mean or anything.
Okay.
He was kind of standoffish. You know, he didn't really...
He probably didn't trust anyone.
He didn't want to deal with anyone.
He wanted his money.
He wanted his money.
More
and then
too.
He went out and he performed.
And he was a hell of a guitarist, wasn't he, Suter?
He was an innovator. Yeah. I guess.
I saw a list that he was in the top five.
I don't know if he...
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Not for me.
You know,
A lot of that.
He's
that's
doing
subjective.
The duck walk.
He was an innovator. He wasn't a great guitarist, I don't think.
The duck walk.
He would do the duck walk. You know, even when he was old, he'd do the duck. He could still do the duck
walk. You think he ever walked like an Egyptian?
No. But, no, he was just stand up. You just didn't talk to him. But he wasn't mean or anything. He wasn't Colin Hay. Son of a...
It's funny.
And Chuck Berry's, his guitar was never in tune.
Wasn't that part of his shtick, though, in a way?
I don't know, but it bothers me.
Because he wouldn't travel with it. He wouldn't, I mean, it would come separately, and then he'd use local bands.
Was Hendrix's,
and nobody really was in tune.
Uh-huh. Was Hendrix's guitar usually in tune?
Well, he was one of the first to really wail on the whammy bar, which really knocks your guitar out of tune. But he was a great guitar player. He was... you know, you wonder, you know, if he had lived, how good he would have.
Well, I wonder about him and Buddy Holly. Those are the two. We've had this discussion before.
Somebody in the, Buddy
How Buddy would have evolved in the 60s. Yeah. That would have been fascinating to watch.
Somebody in the chat room, Prince interview on American Bandstand, he thought was great. It was the most, because Prince wouldn't talk. Dick Clark could ask him a question. And put the microphone out to him, and he didn't say anything. He just looked at Dick Clark.
It's fair to say he was a little odd, wasn't he?
I thought he was...
It was ridiculous.
I thought he was weird.
Well, it was. So Dick Clark ended up talking to the band.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't...
I'm one of the few who thinks he's overrated, personally.
I'm not really into a lot of his stuff.
Great guitar player, I'll give him that.
Very talented.
Wrote some very good songs.
Eric Clapton was asked, what's it like to be the greatest guitar player? What he said, I don't know. Why don't you ask Prince?
Just like Jimi Hendrix said, I don't know. You need to ask Terry Kath. Yeah. I mean, Jimi Hendrix. I read some. When he heard Terry Kath play, he's like, oh my god. And then neither one made it out of the. I mean, Jimi barely made it into the 70s.
Yeah.
But Kath died in 78, didn't he?
That I'm not sure.
Don't worry, it's not loaded.
Yeah.
Those were his last words. Yeah. He was a hell of a guitar player. And then Chicago evolved into the soundtrack to The Karate Kid 2.
Well, it evolved into what's...
Peter Cetera.
Jesus.
Well, he needed to make money, and he made a lot of it
with those
idiot songs at the end.
I hate that guy.
It happens with a lot of bands, but, you know, money talks.
Hey, you got it.
But I love old Chicago. Whereas new Chicago's what, 40 years old?
Or more.
Weren't they the Chicago Transit?
Transit Authority.
And they made them change the name. They got
CTA.
Yeah, so. Yeah. All right, well, we've gone over 10:30, but there's so much hawk stuff to talk about. How do we stop?
I know.
Well, if you didn't hear the first part of the show, I've
missed a lot of hawk stuff.
Yeah, it was really something.
There were some.
Yeah, there's some. We talked about Kyle Aliva's decision.
I mean, you heard the... They were backstage, basically.
Yeah. All right.
And I'm going to look into seeing if there's a possibility we could get I'd like to maybe talk to Kyle again on Wednesday. So I'll talk to Weitzel, even though school's out, because we'll see. I mean, because this is really our last week to have a guest while the school, you know, this is the last week for the 25-26 sports calendar year, if you can believe that. And then we got the College Baseball World Series getting ready to start, and it ends in what, September, Tom?
Two Septembers from now.
It does. It seems like
it's ridiculous.
The baseball postseason seems to go on forever.
It is freaking ridiculous. Weren't the last... Big Ten games were when, in March? No, they're close.
No, the Big Ten's, their last Big Ten games were late April.
Okay, that's the tournament.
No, right? their last series against Purdue
was
in
April?
Des Moines was late April.
Okay.
Yeah, and but no, it's still the long postseason. That really is. Softball just ended, and you saw Texas won again. The pitcher from Dowling, it's amazing. Dowling, arguably their two greatest athletes to come out of football power Dowling are Caitlin Clark and this Tegan Kavan, the pitcher.
Yeah.
She was named the outstanding player for the second year in a row, and what's wild is she never pitched for Dowling.
Okay, so the Big Ten finished their tournament 5 weeks ago, and just now...
Well, no, that was the end of the regular season. I think the Big Ten tournament's been over. Iowa lost like it was... maybe a week or two into May. It's been, you know, it's about three. The postseason's a good month, over a month long. And to me, that's awfully long for a postseason.
I think so.
With football, it takes forever, but there's a gap. Whereas baseball, when you have a double elimination tournament with eight teams, that's a lot of games that need to be played.
Yeah.
And when the weather is always a factor sometimes, that just makes it even harder. You know, so we'll see. But the College World Series is getting ready to start. Unfortunately, there's no Big Ten teams in it.
Is this going to be a good way to end?
This will be one of the worst calls we've ever had.
That would be going.
Wow,
so.
Could you imagine? All right, have at it.
Whoa.
Okay, I'm going to make this the worst one. But the last game was against Purdue, and that was May 13, 14, and 15.
Yeah, I was even shortchanging it a
May
little bit.
May 13, so, 14, 15.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it was even longer than I thought, But I knew it wasn't March. Because, I mean, Big Ten play doesn't even start until, like, I think their first series at Michigan State was, like, mid-March.
Well, usually they start in March, not even starting in February, and then they end in the early part of May.
Yeah. I mean, February is the start of the season. Tom was talking about their Big Ten play, I think their first series against Michigan State was, like, in early to mid-March. When the one they lost two out of three games. So, but yep, thanks for clearing that up, Karin. So that call actually helped.
Okay.
Captain.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a good call.
That was call, Karin.
Yeah.
That was very good. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Molly Suter is next. HawkFanatic.com. Check it out. It's free.